Okay, so you know how much we love diving deep into the stuff you send our way?
Oh yeah, we really get a kick out of it.
And today is no exception. We've got some seriously fascinating material to unpack.
Definitely, it's all about how God reveals himself to humanity.
Which, honestly, who isn't interested in that, right?
Yeah, it's a pretty universal question.
Exactly. So we're looking at excerpts from a theological lecture.
And it gets really specific about different ways people can connect with God.
You know, beyond just scripture or like intense religious experiences.
Right, because according to this lecture, there are these broader ways that all of us.
All of humanity can kind of sense who God is. It's
Let's
like
do it.
built in.
Yeah, built in, that's a good way to put it.
So the lecture calls it internal general revelation.
Which sounds kind of complex, but it's really not.
No, it's basically saying that a part of who we are as humans.
Points to something bigger than
To
ourselves.
God,
That's
right?
it. Yeah,
So
exactly.
the first text they use to unpack this is Romans 2:1-16.
And it's all about this idea that God's law is written on the human heart.
Okay, wait, so what does that even mean?
Well, it's saying that even people who've never heard of the Bible,
Or like the Ten Commandments or
yeah,
anything?
even those folks, they still sometimes act in ways that line up with God's law.
Like they just instinctively know right from wrong.
Exactly. Like even if someone was raised on a deserted island,
With zero religious teaching,
they would still probably have a sense that stealing is wrong.
or lying, or hurting others.
Right. And Paul in Romans, he says that these Gentiles,
So, people who aren't Jewish.
right, they by nature do what the law requires.
So, it's like this internal moral compass we all have.
Yeah, and that compass, it's what the lecture calls our conscience.
Right, the conscience comes up a lot.
It does. And Paul describes it as a witness.
Like an inner voice.
Exactly, those thoughts that accuse you when you mess up.
Or excuse you when you think you're in the right.
Yeah, it's like this constant moral back and forth within us.
And what I find really interesting is that the lecture makes it clear.
This isn't just for religious people.
Right, like it's
Yeah.
universal.
Total, everyone's got this inner sense of right and wrong.
This moral framework built in.
It's part of being human.
And the lecture even connects this to God's judgment.
Which I know can sound scary.
But it makes sense when you think about it.
It does, because Romans 16 says that on Judgment Day.
Our inner secrets will be revealed.
Like all that stuff we try to hide, even from ourselves.
It'll all be laid bare.
Yeah, suggesting there's a deeper level of accountability.
That goes beyond just knowing the rules.
It's about that inner awareness we've been talking about.
Okay, so we've covered Romans,
Now let's jump to Ecclesiastes.
which is a totally different vibe.
Oh yeah, much more philosophical.
Right. So Ecclesiastes 3:1 talks about this idea,
That God has put eternity in their hearts.
which is so poetic.
It is, and it speaks to this universal human longing.
That feeling of wanting something more.
Yeah, that desire for something beyond our everyday experience.
Like we're made for more than just working and paying bills.
Exactly. And this verse suggests that longing is for eternity.
For something that lasts.
Something bigger than ourselves.
And the lecture quotes the NIV Study Bible here.
Which says, God's beautiful but tantalizing world is too big for us, yet its satisfactions are too small.
I love that quote.
Me too. It's like we can sense this vastness.
But we can't fully grasp it.
Right. And that's where the frustration comes in.
Like we're reaching for something we can't quite touch.
But the very fact that we're reaching,
That we have this longing.
that's a form of revelation, according to this lecture.
So, through these two ideas, the moral compass and this yearning for eternity,
What we see is that God is revealing something about himself.
what specifically?
Well, the lecture focuses on God's holiness and justice.
Because if we have this innate sense of right and wrong,
It implies a God who embodies those qualities.
and who ultimately hold us accountable.
Right. That's where the judgment piece comes in.
But the lecture also acknowledges that we can ignore this inner revelation,
Oh, yeah. We can suppress it, distort it, even.
which explains why we do things we know are wrong.
Exactly. Like hypocrisy is a prime example.
Judging others for the same stuff we do.
Classic human move.
So, to recap, internal general revelation is about these built-in mechanisms.
That point to God's existence and character.
It's accessible to everyone.
And it's effective, just like external revelation.
Like seeing God in nature.
Right. But they highlight different aspects of God.
So, external revelation shows us his power and beauty.
While internal revelation points to his holiness, justice.
And that he's the ultimate judge.
Exactly.
All right, so we've tackled internal revelation.
Now let's shift gears to general revelation in providence.
Which honestly sounds even more complicated.
I know, but it's really not.
So break it down for us.
It's basically saying that God reveals himself through his actions in the world.
like how he guides history and intervenes in events.
Exactly. And the lecture uses 12 stories from Acts to illustrate this.
Oh, cool. Okay, let's hear them.
So first up, Acts 14.
Where Paul and Barnabas heal a lame man.
Yeah, and the crowd goes wild.
They think Paul and Barnabas are gods.
Like Zeus and Hermes.
Which is understandable, I guess.
I mean, a miracle just happened.
But Paul and Barnabas, they're like, whoa, hold up.
We're not gods. There's only one true God.
And he's the one who made everything.
The heavens, the earth, the sea.
The whole shebang.
Right. So they immediately redirect the worship.
To the creator God.
And then they go on to explain.
That even though God let nations go their own way.
He still gave them evidence of his existence.
What kind of evidence?
The lecture points to this line about rains from heaven and fruitful seasons.
Oh, yeah, that God satisfied their hearts with food and gladness.
So even though people weren't following God,
he still provided for them.
He took care of them.
That's pretty amazing.
It is. And the lecture emphasizes
that this provision is constant.
It's happening all the time, everywhere.
Well, rain and harvest.
There are signs of God's goodness.
And his role as the sustainer of life.
It's a pretty powerful concept.
It is. Okay, so what's the second story from Acts?
This one's from chapter 17.
Where Paul is in Athens.
And he's surrounded by idols.
Like a ton of them.
But he notices one altar dedicated to an unknown God.
Which is kind of funny when you think about it.
It is, right?
But Paul uses it as a way to introduce the true God.
The one who made everything and doesn't need anything from us.
Because he's the source of life and breath.
And everything else.
So Paul is essentially using their own search for the divine.
To point them towards the God they don't know.
And he goes on to talk about how God created all nations from one man.
And how he determined the boundaries of their dwelling places.
Like he orchestrated the whole thing.
Yeah, and the lecture really highlights the purpose behind this.
Which was that people would seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him.
So even the way nations are spread out.
It's all part of God's plan.
To draw people to himself.
That's a pretty mind-blowing thought.
It is. And to really drive his point home.
Paul quotes some pagan poets.
Yeah. Guys they already respected.
To show that even their own tradition.
Hinted at this connection between humanity and the divine.
And of course, Paul keeps emphasizing God as the creator.
It's central to his message.
So from these two stories in Acts, what we learn is that God's revelation in providence
is about his active involvement in the world.
He provides for us. He guides nations.
And it's all ultimately about bringing us closer to him.
It's a really beautiful way of looking at history.
And it shows us a God who's not distant or uninvolved.
But actively working to draw us to himself.
Through everything from rain to the rise and fall of empires.
It's pretty amazing.
It really is.
So we've explored these two major ways God reveals himself generally.
Internally, through our conscience and longing for eternity.
And through his actions in the world, his providence.
And it's clear from this lecture
that God isn't hiding.
No, he's making himself known.
In ways that are accessible to everyone.
Whether they realize it or not.
So here's a final thought for you to chew on.
Think about how these different types of general revelation.
That inner moral compass, that yearning for something more.
And the patterns you see in the world around you.
How do they all connect in your own life?
Do they point to something bigger than yourself?
To a God who's constantly revealing himself.
In ways you might not even notice.
It's a question worth pondering.
Long after this deep dive is over.
Thanks for exploring with us today.
Always a pleasure.